Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We've had some technical difficulties, but joining us on the phone, Jeff Orlowski and Steve Zocchi. Guys, are you there?
Yeah, we're here, Evan. Thank you. I think we might be reconnected with the equipment here, so see if you can hear Steve on the through the board. But good, welcome back to the Final Inspection Show, broadcasting live out at Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove, Wisconsin. Today, it is Bugfest. It is the Midwest Truck Invasion. You know, the scene down here is amazing. There are tons of people. Track is getting dried out. The weather, all the bad weather has left the area. A little bit cloudy, but you got a nice breeze. It's not too hot out here. The crowd is phenomenal. These trucks that are pulling in, oh my gosh. So, get down here, fun for the whole family. Can't thank Roy Henning enough and all the folks that just do a wonderful job out here at Great Lakes. It's just been absolutely phenomenal. And, you know, they're drying out the track now. These guys are going to be down here making laps, you know, pulling fast times here in the not too distant future. So get down here. It is going to be a ton of fun. And we got, you know, Packer Hall of Famer Leroy Butler is down here. So there is just tons going on down here at Great Lakes Dragway. It's just an absolutely phenomenal scene. You definitely don't want to miss it. So I apologize for the technical difficulties that we experienced earlier. Good to know that we are back on the air now. So we are going to take a quick break here, and then hopefully we've got everything figured out. Everything is back in working order, and you'll hear me and Steve coming up next. So you're listening to the Final Inspection Show here on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan, broadcasting live from beautiful and legendary Great Lakes Dragway down in Union Grove, Wisconsin. Get out here. Come see us. Come see Leroy Butler. We'll be right back with more here on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Broadcasting live from Great Lakes Dragway, where it is a beautiful, beautiful day. The sun is out.
It is.
People are milling about as we have a huge, huge event here. We're here for Bugfest and the Midwest Truck Invasion. And this is a pretty neat event. You might, well, what the heck is Bugfest? Everything Volkswagen. And you say, no, Volkswagen, like a Beetle? No, every... You name it, every Volkswagen is here. I don't care if it's a Karmann Ghia, a Jetta, or anything. And it, until you've seen these things go down the drag strip, it's pretty incredible how what these tuners can do to these Volkswagens here and that. So that's a cool event. Plus, we have the Midwest Truck Invasion. And I'm looking at about a half dozen Chevy Suburbans, which are really, really tricked out. We got all sorts of Chevys and Fords and Toyotas, you name it, out here, all ages, and these things are tricked out. Roy Henning, we had the show, and we'd like to thank him for his hospitality having us down here today. He talks about if you ever seen Eric Thames' truck from the Brewers.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of like on that genre. So pretty cool event here, Jeff, and good food and some pretty girls here too, isn't it?
Yep, it is. It is amazing out here. Leroy Butler shaking hands, kissing babies, doing everything a Packer Hall of Famer should. And phenomenal day. Get down here and check it out. Now, so obviously NASCAR runs tonight, the Cup guys, and you know, for the most part, the starting lineup, you know, it's kind of. You got Logano on the pole, Kyle Busch, Keselowski, Harvick, Truex.
By points.
Yeah, you know, you get the same old guys up front. It, it should make for an interesting first 25 laps, and, you know, because if something happens at the front of the field, then all of a sudden that opens the door, that blows the door down for one of these newcomers to sit there and try to steal a win tonight.
Well, you know, and it started, you know, when you're talking tracks like Daytona, you know, where you start doesn't matter.
Right.
You know, I mean, and you look at, like, the situation you had with the 24 car going to a backup car, who cares?
Right.
You know, I mean, it's an issue that he's going to a backup car, perhaps, but, I mean, where you start, it doesn't matter. Because during the, you know, with the ebb and flow of a race, the guy who's in first place can go all the way to the back and vice versa. And these guys go up and if there is one criticism I do have of plate racing is sometimes you get a kind of a false sense of who is really the fast car because you don't know which guys are pushing it, who are the guys that, you know, you would have these guys that would run in the back of the pack to stay out of trouble, which in the past hasn't really worked. So, I mean, it'll be interesting to see, but bottom line is, you know, you got to look at, well, the Chevys look strong, but then Toyota's always look strong. I mean, who picked Denny Hamlin to win Daytona?
Yeah.
In February?
Not many.
Now, it's a different package. I understand that. And you know, the package from the, so what these teams are coming in from, what they learned in February doesn't matter. This is a totally new package. So it'll be interesting to see. But it's going to be the teams that have your top engineering teams and whatnot. You know, it's going to come back to Joe Gibbs Racing, Hendrick Racing, and Penske at this point, who it looks like has gotten ahead of Stuart Haas Racing at Ford, haven't they?
Yeah, they sure have. Now, if you were, you know, running Steve Zaki Racing here, would you, and, you know, you're a driver owner, so you actually have skin in the game as far as, you know, coming home with a torn up race car, would you choose to sit there and try to run top 10 all day? Or would you go to the back and wait about three quarters of the race and then make your move to the front?
I go to the back because if you look at what happened last night, let me grab here. There's some interesting, and this happens. It's not unusual for this to happen because one of the guys that did well was the Zero Car. That's a team that's been around for years, and they usually Garrett Smithley, I think it was. I think he finished sixth. So, I mean, you're going to have – how many times have we seen that at these restrictor plates where we see, like, Front Row Motorsports and some of these teams kind of sit back then the last 100 miles, they're racing to the front and they're battling for, you know, for the win.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, that's a good point. And obviously a lot of it has to do – if you're locked into a points battle – where you're winless on the season and you're trying to sneak into the playoff picture on points alone, you know, then you obviously you want to run top 10 all day because you need those stage points. But if you're comfortable, like, you know, we talked about how Kevin Harvick's kind of been snake bit all season and has had dominant cars on a lot of tracks, can't pull out a win, was dominating at Chicagoland, hit the outside wall, ends up, you know, with a not good finish for the equipment that he had. But he still has the highest average finish out of any car this season. So, you know, obviously Kevin Harvick will get in on points no matter whether he wins or not, you would assume, into the playoffs. But if you're locked into a battle for, you know, you're sitting around 12th or 13th, 14th, something like that, then obviously stage points matter and you got to run just all out from the drop of the green flag to try to, you know, accumulate as many points as you can. That is, you know, pretty much the only kind of strategy that there is at Daytona.
Well, and there's also the compelling stories that we saw in February, like the 95 car when Matt DiBenedetto, who did well at Sonoma. I mean, I could foresee that 95 car running top five in the last 10 laps.
Oh yeah,
especially if you get a couple of wrecks in that, and he can make it through there, I would not be surprised if that 95 car would run really well.
So. Yeah, yeah, DiBurrito wouldn't surprise me. Michael McDowell has shown
he's another one that runs very, very well at these restrictor plate tracks, and David Reagan is another one.
Yeah. You know, the restrictor plates, and I'm not a huge fan of it. I don't know if that's quote-unquote real racing or not. But, you know, it opens up the door for new guys, new teams, to sit there and get exposure, put their stamp, you know, on their name, get a victory, get into the playoffs. We saw what Ricky Stenhouse did a couple years ago when he won twice on restrictor plates. Tracks, got into the playoffs, and obviously he didn't do jack when he made it. But just the fact that he was able to get in there and with the two wins on restrictor plate tracks. So, you know, it opens the door for a lot of guys and gives some of these teams hope. It's a total crapshoot. We talk about it all the time. You never know when or where the big one's going to hit. And half the time when you get taken out at one of these tracks, it's not of your own doing. Stenhouse. But,
Well, he's another guy, though. I mean, 17 car, you know.
He runs phenomenal at these tracks. When he's not wrecking the field, there's a decent chance he's taking the checkers.
Well, and that's one thing I was going to talk with Dennis. That was one of the talking points I wanted to talk, is the blocking issue. I mean, I'm old school. There wasn't blocking in racing when I was being brought up in the sport.
So you never liked Dale Earnhardt Sr.?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
You know, I mean.
Hey, at least you're consistent.
I was well, let's put it this way. I never was a fan of Dale Earnhardt Sr. And then I met him at another radio show that's been around for a long, long time, and they had a show at the old Elks Club in Waukesha. And it was a phenomenal show, and Dale Earnhardt Sr. is one of the guests. And there's a joke, hopefully this won't offend people, but famous people you've urinated next to. Dale Earnhardt Sr. is one of those guys. And I was always, I was like, lo and behold, here's me and Dale Sr., staring at the wall, and he kind of nods his head, hey, how you doing? After we washed our hands, we shook hands. And the guy was a total, really, really cool guy.
That's awesome.
And I remember driving home thinking, God, that sucks. I wanted him to be an ass. I've mentioned this before. I didn't like what Senior did to Alan Kowicki back in Pocono in 1987. Took him out with a couple laps to go. So, I mean, there's a history there. But, I mean, for the respect for what he could do in a car, there's the famous pass. Probably one of the – I would put down top 10 famous passes in NASCAR is when he splits the two cars or goes between the two cars at Bristol.
Yeah.
I mean, just to be able to not only make those moves but get a – to pull it off. But, yeah, he took on a lot of cars. He took on a lot of guys, but he was able to get away with it. Now, it's the bump and run, but I'm not a fan of the crash and run, in which we're seeing more and more of this. We're going to have John Close on here in the next 2 weeks. He's coming out with a book on Richie Bickle. And John and I, our belief system in what stock car racing should be is very close, because we were brought up in a culture in Wisconsin where we were brought up with guys, the ASA guys, and the guys, Ted Musgraves, Alan Kowicki's, Mark Martin when he lived here, when he drove for Jerry Gundrum, and these guys, that, there's a certain way you raced. And the reason why you race clean is because, these guys are working on their own cars.
Right.
They weren't going to tear up the cars because they knew they were the guys working on it. So even Rusty Wallace and all these guys, they race a certain way. Down south, it's always been a different way. And you could see that when guys like later, Matt Kenseth and Rich Bickles and these guys ran down there, because you race a certain way, you don't take the guy out in front of you.
Yeah.
It's one thing, they say Robbins racing, the bump and run is okay. I always say the bump and run is okay for your first win. And I always call back to Matt Kenseth at Rockingham, where he's coming up at Tony Stewart. Team's going to fold if he doesn't win the race. And Matt Kenseth and Robbie Reiser would not be the people they are in NASCAR today if he doesn't make this move. So in that case, you have to do the bump and run. But just taking people out, not a fan of that.
See, I don't mind it. I think obviously intentionally wrecking somebody for your first win, absolutely have at it. Bump and run, I think, is 100%. Fair game, especially in the last 10, 15 laps, whether you're going for your first win or whether you're going for your 100th win. So I don't mind the bump and run either. But I don't have a problem with it. When it happens, there were a couple times, it's happened where my guy got taken out.
Right.
And my immediate reaction is, oh, my God, that's so dirty. And then I sit back and it's like, well, if the shoe was on the other foot,
right,
I wouldn't have a problem. So I can't have a problem with it going the other way, too. So, we'll see. We should take a quick break here because we got Roy Henning, president, CEO from the beautiful Great Lakes Dragway, coming up next here on the show. So
I just saw the Secret Service pull up right now.
Yeah, they rolled out the red carpet and everything, so I don't know if he's going to have somebody throwing rose petals down when he walks in or not, but we'll let you know.
All right, coming up next, Roy Henning, live from Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove, where we are having the Bug Fest and Midwest Truck Invasion. Get out here. It is a scene out here. It is really cool. We got hoods up. We got people looking at engines. We got all sorts of stuff going on here.
Yeah.
We got good food, good beer, good adult beverages. It's fantastic. So get out to Great Lakes Dragway for a good time. And we'll be back after this with Roy Henning, Senior El Presidente.
Yeah.
Of Great Lakes Dragway, coming up next on the Final Inspection Show. And welcome back to the Final Inspection Show. I'm Steve Zotke, along with co-host Jeff Orlowski, live from Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove, where we are having the Midwest Truck Invasion and Bug Fest, and joining us in person, Roy Henning from Great Lakes Dragway.
Yeah, they don't let me out of the house much.
We got to turn you up here. Hang on a second.
There we go.
There we have it. Yep, they don't let me out of the house much, so it's nice to be out and in person and you know, seeing people that are older than 5 years old. So it's kind
of
nice.
That is nice. Of course, it is turning out to be a beautiful day. We had some rain this morning, which I don't know why people freak out sometimes. Say, oh, it's raining out. It's, well, yeah, it's summer. Storms come in and then it dries out and then things are fine and sun's coming out here and it's a fantastic day at Great Lakes Dragway. Not only is the rain out, sun's out, but the temperature, it's comfortable.
Oh, it's perfect. It's absolutely perfect. The crowd is huge. You know, the weather couldn't have picked a better time to blow through. At least it was in the morning. Track's going to dry out. They're going to be running nonstop. You know, there's no more weather in the area, so it's going to be phenomenal all day, all night out here at Great Lakes.
So, tell us how this came about with the Midwest Truck Invasion, because this is incredible. I'm looking at, you know, all sorts of not only trucks but SUVs, and you know, we mentioned earlier, and you mentioned on the show a couple weeks ago about, you know, some of the type of trucks you're going to see out here, and you mentioned the Eric Thames truck, where these things really are tricked out. They have the lift kits and everything else. But how did this all come about with Great Lakes Dragway?
Well, actually, it was, you know, it's basically kind of a big car club, a big family, the Midwest Truck Invasion. And, you know, they're more so out here to all come in one spot, park their stuff. Everybody, you know, takes a look at what everybody else has. You know, they're hanging out, they're eating, they're drinking, they're having a good time. And it's basically just a kind of a mini festival almost, a mini family reunion.
Yeah. It is really cool, and you know, I'm one of these guys. You know, car shows are nice, but you know, for me, you can only see so many 69 Camaros. I like the oddball stuff, but that's just me.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if I see a Mercury Marauder or something like that, you know, I'm like, oh, no, that's cool or something. But we're talking about with Bugfest, and we're talking off-air, you know, you said it's mostly the air-cool stuff, and Volkswagen, of course, had a pretty eclectic lineup in the 60s and 70s. And one car that we don't see that much are the Squarebacks. And kind of explain to the listener what a Squareback is.
Well, a Squareback is, it's called Type 3, and it basically kind of looks like it's the precursor to the station wagon almost.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a couple different versions of it, but it's definitely one of the rarer Volkswagens, along with like a Thing. Not quite like the split window buses that you see rolling across and getting sold for $200,000 now. Which, if I had the Volkswagen buses I had a few years ago, I'd be able to retire, you know, as is. But of course, we sold those for about $1,000 a piece when no one wanted to take them off our hands. But it's really nice, though. I mean, you know, with Mofoco still in Milwaukee, and I'm building engines, and, you know, the air-cooled scene is definitely very, very alive. More so, obviously, in Southern California, Florida, Arizona areas, obviously, where it's hot a lot. But talking to a lot of guys there, they don't even like driving anymore. They want AC because it's 120 degrees every day. So it's actually getting more rough out there than it is here. And people import a lot of the cars back here.
Okay.
I bought my car from Portland, Oregon. And had it shipped out here for $500, and you know, there it is, because obviously most of the ones out here rusted out over the last 30, 40 years. But we still get a good little turnout for Bugfest, and this truck invasion is just, it's blowing me away. When I drove in this place, and you know, I saw the line out to KR, the line out to 45, And these guys were just, you know, ready to rock and roll. It's raining sideways, and they don't care. They're just going to wait in line and get in here and have a good time.
Yeah, and like I said, the weather with the timing couldn't be better because right now everything's dried out, and it is just a beautiful day at Great Lakes Dragway here, looking at the trucks. As Jeff and I were seeing, pretty cars and pretty women out here.
Yeah. You know, Wednesday is scheduled Ladies' Day out here at Great Lakes every single week, so find the next X misses you if that's what you're looking for. But, you know, today looks like ladies' night as well.
Today does. It's quite festive out there. It looks like a little mini summer fest going on.
Yes, it does.
So, you know, hopefully everybody's of age.
Yep. Good sights, good food, good racing coming up. Get out here. It's phenomenal. And, you know, we've all talked about the lines getting in. But I got in 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah, it's moving right along. I mean, you know, you guys didn't get quite the Leroy Butler treatment.
As
I'm rolling in, I get a phone call from Leroy, and he says, hey, I'm stuck in this line. And I said, hey, take a look to your left. And I was right next to him, had him follow me in. The parking guy in front of me, who I didn't know, I had to explain who I was and that Leroy Butler was behind me, didn't believe me, knocked on his window. Guy looked like he won the lottery, got a handshake, and had a little picture with Leroy on his way in. So at least, you know, we made somebody's day on the way in.
Leroy, the way he's going right now, greeting the fans here, he could be running for public office.
Oh yeah. He'll just grab you as you're walking by, and you know he'll sign your T-shirt and your shorts and your hat and whatever you got.
Yeah, maybe even sign your baby.
He'll sign your baby. You know, just.
So I'm intrigued by the Bug Fest because I've always been a fan of Volkswagens and that, and with these buses and that, with the campers, I mean, that. Tell us about how that kind of came across with the 23 window, is it?
Well, it's the 21 window, the 23 window, the split windows. So it's not every bus. So just because, and it's the joke on the internet where people take pictures of rotted out, half buried in the sand buses, and they're like, $25,000, you know, and you know, you finish restoring it, it'll be worth $200,000.
Okay.
Which of course not everyone is.
Right.
But as soon as they sold at a few auctions, and I think it's the Bear Jackson auction.
Right.
Yep. So as soon as the first one sold, it was about 10 years ago, maybe 15, and all of a sudden everybody started going crazy for these things. Now it's still very specific. People still want the German buses. They downgrade your Brazilian or your Mexican bus. For whatever reason, they want the split window. They want the 23, the 21. They want the pop-top camper. So I've got a few still, and of course, the ones that I have aren't worth that much. But I'm working on another one because you got to have a cool one. And Bugfest, this is our 28th Bugfest. And so the first couple, this is before my dad owned the racetrack. So we rented out the track. We would have 200-400 cars here with 150-200 swappers. People were lined up like this, like the truck event for Bugfest back in the day. And so, you know, we think over the years, everybody sold all their parts. You know, it definitely has gone down a little bit here and there.
Yeah.
Like I said, it's still, you know, quite popular. You kind of get that kind of attendance out in California. But we still get a good, a good crowd here and there. Obviously, the rain, hit us a little hard. And like I was saying off air, people are driving 50 to 60-year-old cars, into that event, not exactly a brand-new truck with the AC jacked all the way up. And so, you know, rain doesn't bother you. But hey, we're happy to have it, and we're all having a good time, and, you know, we got Leap running around.
Yeah, I think it's phenomenal because when I was here earlier before we got on the air, I was talking with your dad for a little bit, and I think it's great how, you know, the family atmosphere, you know, between you and your father and running the track and all that, and the family atmosphere, like you mentioned, with the Midwest truck invasion, it just, the cohesiveness on it, you know, it seems like it's a perfect marriage for you guys.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
it's definitely a little bit of an opposite crowd type thing, but there's a little bit of merging here and there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, it's, you sit there and, you know, we can see where all the trucks are parked out here, and, you know, there's crowds of 20, 30 guys all hanging out. Everybody's having a good time. It's like it's like a family reunion. And it's great. It is great.
It is really cool event. Broadcasting, this is a final inspection show, broadcasting live from Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. Make sure you get out here today for Bugfest and the Midwest Truck Invasion, sitting here with Roy Henning from Great Lakes Dragway and Jeff Orlowski and myself, Steve Zotke, and a Packer Hall of Famer, Leroy Butler, posing for photos once again. So what better way to spend a beautiful Saturday afternoon than out here at Great Lakes Dragway in early evening. We're in Torque Alley. And Roy, tell us how this call came about in here.
Well, I have been here since the beginning. My dad raced here in the late 70s and 80s. So every Memorial Day and Labor Day, I spent down at the racetrack. And then eventually he bought the track with a couple other guys about 1994. And at that point, then I had to work.
Oh, yeah.
And so I got to do every single job and got to is quote unquote. Got to do every single job that was available here at Great Lakes Dragway. And Torque Alley Tap started off as a little square hole in the wall that said beer $3. And that's all you had. It looked just like a place I saw in New Orleans on Bourbon Street where it said beer $2. And you just stuck your $2 in and a hand stuck a beer out at you. And so that's what this started as. And then my dad decided that he had to open this thing up. We needed to have a full bar, racing memorabilia. You got the liquor license so you can make cocktails, which started about 5 or 6 years ago. He kind of has tried to turn this into a full family entertainment and, give you everything available that he can give you.
Everybody's posing. Now
and now we're posing for more pictures with Leroy here.
So it is a neat event. And you know, you go to some tracks and, it's just a track, some bleachers, and you're kind of stuck looking at an old dirt track or something. But with what's nice about Great Lakes Dragway is there's a lot of things to do. You have a little setup here with the infrastructure you guys have put up. It's a place, let's say you come out here next month, August, a little hot, come into Torque Alley here, get out of the sun, and relax. I mean, it's really, you guys have really made it fan-friendly. And I think that's what sets Great Lakes Dragway apart from a lot of other weekly venues, whether it's an oval track, road course, or what, is you guys are really kind of taking that extra step, making it a comfortable place to be.
Well, and everybody that I've run into, obviously, whether it's you, whether it's the bartender here at Torque Alley, security, the guys outside at the ticket booth, everything, so nice, knowledgeable. You know, I'm obviously Polish. I have no idea where the hell I'm going. So, where do I go for this? Oh, yeah, right over there, I can walk you there. Just, they go above and beyond. And so I just want to make sure that you realize how phenomenal that everybody you've got around here is.
Yeah, my dad pretty much handpicks just about everybody that comes out here to work and knows everybody by name. It's not just sitting in his desk and throwing out orders type thing. So he wants everybody to be personable and to help everybody out as is. We got multiple people driving around on golf carts just to help anybody out that needs it. And yeah, Steve, going back to what you were saying, I mean, every single winter, as soon as the track is shut or even before the track is over, my dad is already putting money from that year into a new building, into some new pavement, into new concrete, more stands. It's just infrastructure, because like you were saying, a lot of times you go to a place and it's a flat little quarter mile, a couple of pop-up bleachers and a lemonade stand and a beer cart, and that's about all you got.
Yeah.
But you got to make it, we're kind of making a little village around here. Mm-hmm. So that in case there is, inclement weather or whatever, there's places to go. You can hang out for a bit inside, play some pool. We got a full machine shop down here now, car lifts, you got to fix something, boom, you talk to them, go over there, you can borrow some tools sometimes. So we're trying to be the all-inclusive drag strip, along with my dad handpicking every single thing that goes into the food stand, trying to have the best food of any venue in southeastern Wisconsin, also priding himself on having the least expensive alcohol prices of any major sporting event venue in Wisconsin.
Hello. Two things very close to my heart, and the amazing thing, and you mentioned the dirt tracks, is there's no, the lines are so short for the food and for the drinks and everything like that. You've got enough people working where, you're sitting there, you're watching a race, and you want to go grab a quick drink and a quick trip to the bathroom, you're not missing much. Where you go to some of these other tracks and you're stuck in line for 45 minutes to an hour, you're going to miss half the event sitting there in the bathroom line. It's brutal.
Well, let's say for some reason a listener couldn't make it out here today. What are some of the other events coming up this summer at Great Lakes Dragway?
The other major big one that you're going to want to look at is always a Labor Day event. Those two events are just – they're 45 to 50 years, you know, going on right now. And that's where you have all the big stuff. We had the Jet Car Show last weekend or a couple weeks ago, and that thing was phenomenal. I couldn't make it down with my own kid because we had stuff going on. But, you know, my father-in-law came down and said, you know, a heck of a light show going on out there. And that's the one time where when I used to work the bar, we had to get prepared was during the Labor Day, Memorial Day weekend shows. As soon as that last jet hit, everybody went running for a beer, running for the bathroom. So then you had the 20-minute lines. But there was time in between the rounds, so you really never missed anything, which was nice. So you definitely want to come down for Labor Day. We've got, you know, another Import Wars and a Nitro Streetcar Brawl, which is good. We're trying to really center in on the getting the people off the street this year. And, you know, I've kind of poked fun here and there at the other track that's doing the real short drag racing. But I will give them this. They are helping people get off the street. People are going there and having a good time. And they're generating more buzz for drag racing. And so, you know, I kind of got to tip my hats off to those guys for, you know, putting on something that, you know, people are having a good time at. They don't have to drive real far for. And anything that gets people off the street, you know, street racing. Because with these glorified TV shows, which aren't really real anyway.
Right.
But it gets people to, you know, get off their couch, and then they go out, and then they want to street race at midnight, you know, after having a few beers, and no one wants that.
And, you know, I've made my way down Great Lakes Dragway here a couple times in the late 80s with my Mercury Capri RS, and it is pretty easy if Jeff went out to David Hobbs Honda, and they had a used Camaro there, let's say, newer used 3-year-old Camaro. How can Jeff come out here and drive it at Great Lakes Dragway?
With street cars, all you need is you know, the standard safety equipment like seatbelts. Most street cars aren't going to go fast enough for a helmet, but you're still going to roll by, and they're just going to check you out and tech real quick just to make sure you got a radiator overflow tank and things like that. But it's just about that easy. You really don't have to do anything. And like my dad always tells people, all you're doing is getting on the freeway entrance. That's it.
Right.
You know, you just put your foot down when the light goes green, and as soon as you get through the lights, you let off. And most of the time, anybody that's ever been scared, as soon as they go past the first one, they go, can I go again? Right now, please. Now, standing on the starting line sometimes, Leroy learned that standing on the starting line when the jets go is a little loud and a little smoky and a little warm. His first experience on a Great Lakes Dragway. So,
see, and the day after, I thought he got a haircut, but that was just the jet cars. Roy Lee got a little too close, but you know, I was going to say you needed a new barber, but I know you go to the best. So
yeah, I've had a couple of opportunities to be in the starting lane, especially with the thumpers get out there, the alcohol cars and that, or even being able to get into, I know Mark Dietrich, you're a PA guy out here, and to get up in the starting tower. It is just a really, really cool experience. And just to feel, I mean, literally, you can feel the power go through you when you're starting.
And see, now I'll sound like the old guy, but back in the early 80s, when I came come down here with my dad, and I'm 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years old, they would let me stand at the starting line because they know who my dad was. He raced the top alcohol funny car here. We had a big billboard up here and things like that, pretty close with Broadway Bob. And so my buddy and I would stand behind the jet cars closer than we probably should have. And in this day and age, my parents probably would have gotten hauled off to Child Protective Services with how close I was to an active jet car. So close that the colored smoke would color my hair.
Wow.
And so I'd walk away and I'd have blue or green or red hair after that. And I'd just be wearing goggles and, you know, a half a helmet. But, but no, I mean, growing up here and doing things like that, you know, it was a blast. And you can still, you know, get close enough to be safe. And, you know, like I said, feel that heat and feel that thunder, you know, right in your stomach.
Yeah, Broadway Bob, of course, who started this in about 1952, I think it was, right about that?
It was 52 to 55. There's still questions on what's the official first year.
I had an opportunity to do a bio with Broadway Bob, sit down with him about 20 years ago, and it was just fantastic, him telling the story of how he got the money to get the drag strip and that, and some of the interesting the history of Great Lakes Dragway, which it has, and of course dating back to some of the drivers that raced here, and of course you've had Big Daddy Don Garlitz here in the past, and it just to who's who. Drag Racing Hall of Fame, who's been here. In fact, Broadway Bob is in the Drag Racing Hall of Fame. So just a storied place, and we're really just so happy that there's a gem like this in southeastern Wisconsin that race fans can come to. And just the biggest thing, you look at the tracks that are the most successful in the state are the ones that are active so many days a year. And, of course, you guys, Road America, and that, you guys are open during the week, and there's always activity going on. And I think that's such a big positive for them.
Yeah, my dad prides himself on the fact that we are open more days per year than any other racetrack in the country. And I think it's a huge testament to Wisconsin, the fact that we've got this track along with Road America, which are basically the two oldest tracks in existence in the entire country for their type of racing. So it's pretty cool that it's in Wisconsin. I mean, the amount of things that we have to come and hang out, you know, and see in Wisconsin between sports, you know, sports teams and the venues like this. I mean, you come here and drive within a 90-mile radius, and if you can't find something fun to do, well, then you probably shouldn't be going out.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, golf courses and, I mean, everything, you know. So it's great that these two places can keep going, and I'm sure there's a lot of cross-promotion between people to go to both tracks here and there and, you know, have had fun. And the history with this track with, I mean, it's a who's who Drag Racing Hall of Fame, you know, before 95. If you were one of those top guys, you raced here.
Yeah, but don't sell yourself short either, because, you know, being open a lot of days is one thing. Being open a lot of days with good customer service and with, you know, people that are looking out to make sure that, the customers that come in, the fans are having a good time, have everything they need, you know, all that. That's what, you know, pushes it over the top and gets people, you know, coming back year after year after year. Yep. The season pass, you know, that you guys run every year pays for itself in three visits. Just a phenomenal deal. So, you know, there's a whole lot of good besides just the fact that there's cars going down the track almost every day.
Yeah, my dad and I were just joking that we haven't raised the season price pass since we started it.
That's
really like 5 or 6 years now, maybe even 7 or 8. We have not raised the season price pass since it started. So if you're looking for season passes still, you can still buy one, because even if you bought one right now, you could still pay for itself within 2 or 3 weeks, depending on how much you come to the track.
Absolutely.
And so we got no problem, you know, selling passes late, and then, you know, at the end of the year, they all of a sudden start again for next year, Christmas presents and things like that.
And tracks are starting to go down the
and
drag
there's a car.
Now. Yep, there we go.
So we're dried out, and we are running.
So it's fantastic news. Make sure you come on out Great Lakes Dragway here in Union Grove for a Bug Fest and the Midwest Truck Invasion. A lot of fun. The sun is out. The girls are out. It's just a fantastic day here at Great Lakes Dragway. Roy Henning, we certainly appreciate you coming on the Final Inspection Show.
Thank you guys for being here.
And, yes, we certainly appreciate your hospitality and everything. It's been a fantastic day so far. And get out here. You get to meet Packer Hall of Fame, Roy Butler. And
hopefully we didn't put you guys too close to the bar. So,
you're
going to catch everybody.
We're not
here
slurring yet.
We'll be back when we'll be closing up things here on the Final Inspection Show coming up next, broadcasting live from Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove.
This is Final Inspection with Steve Zocchi, presented by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
And welcome back to the Final Inspection Show, brought to you by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove, where we are broadcasting live. And Jeff Orlowski, we have cars going down the drag strip, don't we?
Oh, it's a beautiful, beautiful sound. I can't wait to get out there and watch it and, you know, come down here. Sun is out. Clouds are breaking up. It's a beautiful day. The crowd is huge. You know, good food, good drinks, good people. It is awesome.
It's the sound of unadulterated horsepower.
Yes, please. I love it.
Sounds good. Nothing better than a roaring V8.
I know.
On the verge of destruction.
Iron Maiden's close, but I still give it to the V8.
So come on out to Great Lakes Dragway. We're broadcasting our final segment here till 2 o'clock. Then we have the Brewers pregame show. Hopefully the Brewers can not make it so interesting as they did last night, beating the Pirates in Pittsburgh 7-6, giving up a 6-1 lead in the ninth inning.
At least they scored some runs yesterday.
They did. So,
they had that going for them.
A little panicky at the end there, but they were able to pull it out. And it's one of those situations where a good team will find a way to win, and there's some concern with the Brewers, but I mean, first place. I mean, you got to, you know, they're right at the top. And you know, hopefully things will get better. But, I mean, are we getting a little spoiled here, Jeff?
Well, you know, with the amount of talent that the Brewers have, they're struggling for sure. They should be playing a lot better. You know, the entire division is in this pennant race. And, you know, but the teams that you thought were going to be at the top are struggling too. And so, you know, the problem is that with the Brewers struggling and the Cubs and the Cardinals and the Pirates and the Reds, everybody in the division's in a log jam, it opens up the door for the wild card to a whole lot of other teams and a whole lot of other divisions that we didn't think were going to be in play that are now in play. So hopefully the Brewers can get it figured out. You know, it's always something. Either the pitching staff struggles and doesn't go enough innings, or the offense is struggling and not putting up any runs. Hopefully they can get it together and go on a run. You know, obviously the All-Star break is coming up real quick here. So hopefully they enter the break on the right foot.
And, of course, tonight we have the Firecracker 400. I'm going to call it the Firecracker 400 because that's what it is. We have the World 600 on Memorial Day weekend and the Firecracker 400 on July 4th weekend. And of course, tonight in Daytona, Green Flag is scheduled for our time. Milwaukee time would be 6:40. So make sure you tune into that while you're watching the Brewer game or out here at Great Lakes Dragway. And, of course, qualifying for the race was rained out, so they're running them by points. So you got Joey Logano, Kyle Busch in the front row, Brad Keselowski and Kevin Harvick in row two, Martin Truex, Denny Hamlin in row three, Chase Elliott and Kurt Busch in row four, rounding out your top ten, Alex Bowman, your winner last weekend at Chicagoland, and Ryan Blaney. Looking at the top ten there, Jeff, there's a couple guys that have not won yet this year. Of course, Kevin Harvick is one of them that kind of sticks out. Ryan Blaney, too, in that third Penske car. He's definitely could be someone we could see in victory lane, couldn't we?
Yeah, you could. You know, Harvick, there's no way in I'm picking him until he proves that he can bring home the checkered flag. You know, he totally seems snake bit this season. But, yeah, Blaney, I could see him, you know, finishing very near the lead, if not winning this thing. If I was going to go to the window today and, you know, entertainment purposes only, I would take the good old two-car Big Bad Brad for the win tonight.
Yeah, interesting situation that happened in the final practice where he took out Will Byron in the 24 car, and he said, I'm not lifting.
Yep.
He says last couple times, three out of the last four restrictor plate races, he's been taken out by cars cutting in front of him, him lifting off the gas, and then the car in front of him taking him out. So he's like, I'm not lifting anymore. If this is how the game wants to be played, well, this is how I'm going to play it then. So he kind of gave a message to, I think it was kind of a strategy thing. So if you're, you know, you're motoring along, in turn, going down the backstretch, and you see that number two Miller Lite car behind, you know, coming up, are you going to pull in front of him? Mm. He's hoping that you might think against it.
Yeah, and Keselowski is one of those that he runs better when he's got a chip on his shoulder, and that chip is there, and it's firmly planted. So I expect big things out of Brad tonight. You know, he seems like one, and Kevin Harvick's another. They run better when they're pissed off. And, you know, I think it sent a good message to the entire field. Don't mess with Brad this weekend and, you know, probably the rest of the season. And with the way that NASCAR runs the rules and everything like that, you can't blame him for not lifting because the penalties on it aren't strong in any way, whether he wrecks here or not.
I like your Brad Keselowski pick. I'm going to go with Martin Truex in that 19 car.
That's a good pick.
So I think the Toyotas have been strong. I mean, this thing is wide open. I mean, I could see the Chevrolet's doing well. I mean, who knows? Maybe you could see, Alex Bowman went two in a row. That wouldn't be unusual. I mean, this is how wide open. We mentioned the other guys, Matt beat
DiBenedetto.
Yeah, and then, you look at McDowell or somebody like that. So you could – this thing's really, really wide open. Should be interesting race. Of course, green flag at 640. And this is the Final Inspection Show, broadcasting live from Great Lakes Dragway. Make sure you get out here for the Midwest Truck Invasion and Bug Fest. We have cars going down the drag strip. It's opening up. We got blue skies. And we appreciate the hospitality, Great Lakes Dragway, and Roy Henning and the gang.
Yeah, and thank you to Dennis Michelson. We, experienced technical difficulties with him. Didn't bring a whole lot of him as much as we wanted, but Roy Henning was phenomenal, and big thanks to everybody out here at Great Lakes.
Including Packer Hall of Famer Leroy Butler. Get out here, go meet Roy. Roy Henning, of course, at Great Lakes Dragway, Leroy Butler, and you might even see us wandering around through the grounds here and see some cool cars and trucks at Great Lakes Dragway. You're listening to the Final Inspection Show. We'll talk to you next week.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.